It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Michael Busch leads it off against right-hander Brian Bello. Big right-hander brings it. This ball's hit in the air. Deep left field. Back is Rhett Snyder. It's got a chance. Gone! Michael Busch. Opposite field home run on the very first pitch. Cubs lead 1-0. Listen to this crowd. Rolling and out. Tucker drives one in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Cubs go back to back. Tucker launching one to the seats in straightaway right. He took advantage of the 3-1 count. And the Cubs lead 2-0. Here's the 0-2. Swinging a bouncer toward the middle. This is going to do it. Dansby throws to first. Cubs win the ball game. The Cubs have made it 2 in a row over the Red Sox.
Go Sox.
Talkman gives this one a ride to right center field, and it's going to get down. Two runs will score. They're waving in Sosa, and Talkman clears the bases. A three-run double, and the Sox put up a five spot here in this sixth inning, taking their first lead of the night. Fly ball left field, Benintendi underneath, and the Sox will take this three-game series from the Pirates, winning the first two. Now in the second game, it's 10-4.
Sing along, everybody.
Ba 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 da ba ba. It's Sunday. It's hit and run. Ba ba. Here comes the low brass. Who's with me? Crank it, Tyler. Ba da ba bum ba da bum ba da bum. If you heard the bass trombone, then you have good ears for low brass. Good morning, everybody. It is 9:02 in the morning on a Sunday in July. And as we sit here right now, the best team in baseball is the Chicago Cubs. At least by the standings, the best team in baseball is the Cubs. 20 games over 500 at 59-39. The Detroit Tigers have lost 6 in a row, and they are just 19 games over 500. Do you think the Tigers are a better team than the Cubs? You know, when you actually stop and think about it, you got to think about, well, is the Tigers' bullpen as locked down? Who's their closer? Is it Will Vest? Is that what's going on? You can start to twist yourself into a little bit of a pretzel where you're like, I think the Cubs are better than the Tigers, as a matter of fact. Tigers have a plus 82 run differential. The Cubs at plus 128. As the power was on display yesterday. And the White Sox have won 2 in a row and scored 10 runs twice in Pittsburgh. You heard some of the highlights there mixed in from 670 The Score. Do we hear any Fox in there? I don't think so. We also heard, of course, CHSN for the White Sox games. But Fox in the house yesterday, Adam Amin, Adam Wainwright, A.J. Pruszynski. You're going to hear A.J. Pruszynski's voice on this show today, but it's in a very surprising place in the middle of a different piece of sound a little bit later on. Good morning, everybody. It's me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on 670 The Score. Tyler Farengel, Baby T, is in for Sean Sears today. Even Sean gets a Sunday off. We even allow Sean to go on a vacation. Where is it? I think he's at the girlfriend's place or something. He's with family or girlfriend, in-law families and vacation spots. Hell, where are you listening right now? Maybe you're on a boat. We're on a boat. Maybe you're on a boat. Is today that Bears boat cruise? I think that is today. I think it's later tonight. But this is a day. Maybe you're up in Wisconsin on a boat. You're in Michigan on a boat. You're on a pontoon boat in river country there in Indiana. We spent a few days there last week. My God, it was lovely. Elkhart, Indiana, a little bit of Goshen, Indiana. Dinner in South Bend one night. The Score coming in loud and clear. Tis the summer, man. Hope everybody's out there and enjoying themselves. Maybe you're in the garage or getting ready to mow the lawn. or we are your morning sound as you slowly rise and put breakfast together. Or we're in your car. There's a lot of options. You can listen to the radio basically anywhere. It is Hit and Run. I'm Matt Spiegel with you here. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. Today, the Cubs wrap up their series against the Red Sox over at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins at 12:45 with first pitch at 1:20 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Reminder, you are listening to 670 The Score, which can now be heard on both the Odyssey and the iHeartRadio apps. When two things come together like that, man, woof, it's kind of like the Cubs and the Red Sox converging here at Wrigley over the course of this weekend. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to check in with Brian Smith and talk with him about all things Cubs prospects. Looking forward to that. We'll check in with James Fox and talk with him about all things Sox prospects. We'll look back on the draft for both of the clubs and look ahead to the trade deadline. Drew Pomerantz, the Cubs pitcher who has pitched for both the Cubs and the Red Sox, will join us at some point on the show today. Great story in that Cubs bullpen, which is a real good story in and of itself. And also later on, an exclusive chunk of me with Lucas Giolito in the Red Sox clubhouse yesterday. Had a chance to be at the ballpark yesterday, work both clubhouses, talk to a bunch of people. Was also there for part of Friday up in the press box. This is a series to get out to. It is a highly targeted series. Tickets have been outrageously difficult to get. The energy in the ballpark was just amazing on both days. Last night, was there with four of my college pals and assorted wives and family. And man, those are people I went to school with in Boston between 88 and 92. And we probably went to 30 games a year. I probably went to 30 Red Sox games a year between 1988 and 1992. And I could regale you with stories of Fenway and all of that. But, I mean, the big picture stuff about these two teams is probably where to really lean in because of the convergence and because of the commonalities. So I want to talk about it with you, and I want to kind of zoom out and talk about it a little bit larger. Because when these teams come together, you start thinking, like the 86-year drought for the Red Sox due to the curse of the Bambino, theoretically, but it was really the curse of bad ownership. The 108-year drought for the Cubs due to the curse of the Billy Goat, or was it really just the curse of bad ownership? But with all the happenstance and the heartbreak that lurked in there for Red Sox fans, 1946, 1975, 1986, and for Cub fans, 1969, 1984, and then, of course, both of them in 2003, both of them five outs away in 2003. Moises Alou yells at the fan down the left field line. I try not to mention his name if I don't have to. Grady Little goes out, talks to Pedro Martinez, then leaves him out there. And then Aaron freaking Boone hits the home run against Tim Wakefield in, what, the 14th inning? They were both five outs away in 03. And then the Red Sox vanquish in 04. The Cubs vanquish in 16. And, of course, the White Sox with an 88-year drought. And they vanquish in 2005 as well. So we've got three venerable franchises, really, in the conversation with long, long droughts. All of them won before 1920 in baseball and then didn't for a long time after. But it's when the Cubs and the Red Sox converge that you find yourself thinking about the fan bases, thinking about the ballparks with Fenway and with Wrigley. And in my case, with a kind of cozy fraternization that existed for decades of either embracing or pushing against, but at least dealing with the concept of being lovable losers. And now that's gone. It's gone for both. And maybe some of you Cub fans still cling to it with some muscle memory. I mean, after all, it's only been 9 years. You know? I know some Red Sox fans who still clung to it with some muscle memory. My dad, My dad, who just passed, he would say, that's what life is like being a Red Sox fan. And I'm like, Pops, they just won like three times. What's wrong with you? You can't do that anymore. Or four times, right? They won in 04.
I think 04, 07.
13 and 18.
13 and 18. 13 and 18.
They won four times in 14 years, Pops. Cram it. And yet he still held on to that. It's just hard. It's hard out here being a Red Sox fan. No, it's not. No, it's not. Or is it? Because it's different now, right? It's hard out here being a Cub fan. No, it's not. They're really good. Or is it? Because both of the franchises truly are really good and really smart and well-moneyed. But they live just below the line of the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees. So it can get frustrating still right there when you hope for a little more spend. So it's interesting. I find myself wondering what the mindset is for Cub fans, if there's any part of you that still embraces the lovable loser thing, even if it's just muscle memory, even if it's just against your will, because these fan bases have converged. So just put that on the, amidst the thinking cap. Put it in there as you mix in with everything else that is percolating regarding these teams and the trade deadline. Because they're both in interesting spots as well, needing stuff. The Red Sox came into this series, came into the All-Star break, having won 10 games in a row. The fourth team ever to come into the All-Star break, having won 10 in a row. One was the 1935 Tigers. They won the World Series. One was the 1975 Reds. They won the World Series. The other was the 2022 Mariners. They did not. So all of those teams, by the way, lost their first game after the break, just like the Red Sox did. Now the Red Sox have lost two in a row, so they will not be the team of the moment. They should have been the team of the moment last week. We'll do team of the moment later on. And, Mike Esposito did a great job filling in last week, but he called a crazy audible on team of the moment. The Red Sox at the time had won nine in a row. What are you doing? And I know we ran with another team, but we have to run with that team again. We have to. So that's coming up at the top of the next hour, team of the moment. And you can probably guess who that is and who it has to be, because they're absolutely on fire. I'll tell you who's on fire as a manager right now is Craig Counsell. How about the decision, finally, perhaps, you may think, to move Ian Happ down in the lineup, and the way that he has handled that and what has happened since. And I was praising the decision as it happened on that Friday of the Yankee series when Happ did not play. And then on Saturday, when Nico Horner led off against the lefty and Happ was down at 7 and Nico Horner tripled. It lead off Nico with a triple on that Saturday. Then on Sunday, Michael Bush led off against the righty, and Happ, I think, was still down at 7. And Bush homered on that Sunday. Then there's an All-Star break. First game on Friday, Bush leads off, walks, scores on the Seiya Suzuki 3-run homer off Giolito. Yesterday, Bush leads off against the righty, Brian Bellow, homers. So that would be four games in a row where the leadoff man, the non-Ian Happ leadoff man, has led off the game and scored. The results are outrageous, but don't get lost in the results. Enjoy the process. And I'm sure it must have been, on some level, a difficult conversation with Ian Happ, who is a proud and strong veteran. And now Ian, in the five hole yesterday, had a good game yesterday. Home run late. Bunch of good at-bats mixed in there. Good for him. Entering the day yesterday, Ian Happ was hitting just 129 with two extra base hits and 17 strikeouts since the 26th of June. But now there yesterday looked pretty darn good. And this Cubs lineup, man, is real. Vidal Brujan, I'm not sure what he does well on a big league roster. I'm not sure what he does well as a big league player. But there he was with a start. He did have a sacrifice fly on a first pitch, delivered a great slide by Dansby Swanson on that sacrifice fly. Head first on the inside of home plate, inside of the catcher. A full-on dive and a reach out and a touch of the top of the plate with a palm. He's a wonderful base runner. Got a few of those. And then Vidal Brujan, pinch hit for by Matt Shaw, who goes boom. Matt Shaw with his third homer of the year. Matt Shaw, in a moment when the Fox broadcast there on TV was showing third base production all around the league, and it was 30th. The Cubs are 30th in third base production and all those different stats. And while those numbers are up, Matt Shaw homers. Had an opposite field single a little bit later. Hey, maybe this is the moment where Matt Shaw turns it around. It's hard to believe. This far into the year, it is awfully hard to believe.
Announcer jinx with that third base stuff.
The reverse one, yeah, possibly. Yeah. You've got some serious needs for the Cubs and lots of other teams on the deadline, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it plenty. Meanwhile, on the south side, Luis Robert with a bit of a showcase over these last couple of games. And maybe they'll be able to get something for him at the deadline. We're going to throw open the phone lines right now with you and talk to you guys. Throw them open there, baby T. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. The Cubs are the best team in baseball in the standings. Do they deserve to be there? Do you still want to go out and get everything you need to get? You should. You should. Go for it. This is an absolute go for it moment. And they should, and I think they will. Any moment, any day now, any hour now, trades could happen. Just getting rolling here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. You can hop in via phone, via text, 312-644-6767. It speaks with you on a Sunday morning on 670 The Score.
We're back.
Way back, 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 way back, way back,
oh my goodness.
Back, 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 back.
More Hit and Run Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. Pretty crazy last couple of days. I had a wonderful time over at the Music Box Theater yesterday. A screening of the movie Ephes, which is really excellent. I enjoyed it even more the second time. Very funny and sad and intriguing baseball movie, Ephes, which features a cameo from former Red Sox pitcher Bill Lee, the spaceman, legendary oddball lefty from the 70s and early 80s. Who is so perky and so strange and wonderful. He's basically the Bill Walton of baseball. It was in town for this series and over there. And I got to do a Q&A with Bill Lee and with Nate Fisher, who is the writer and one of the stars of the movie Ephes yesterday. And it was just an absolutely thrilling experience. And that dude is funny and bizarre and wonderful. And had just incredible stories. But like, it's just a crazy baseball weekend. The baseball vibes in this town just elite on this particular weekend with one more game to go this afternoon. And thanks again to my friends over at the Music Box. It is Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. That's also how you can text us. Here's a texter who disagrees with 20 games over 500 and decides to make the semantical argument. I love the show, but in reality, the Cubs are only 10 games over 500 because if they would have lost 10 more games, it'd be 49-49. All right, fine. We all know that. We all know that. We've argued about this for 80 years, 100 years. I mean, not on the radio station, but still. Keep that to yourself next time. Keep it to yourself. Here's another one. Texter says, Willie Castro from the Mets for third base super utility. He gets Brujan's spot today. Man, Willie Castro is awfully good. Eugenio Suarez is going to go somewhere. The Yankees are supposedly the favorite to get Eugenio Suarez. He would look awfully good on this Cubs team. It would make all the sense in the world. But anyway, the phone number and the text line are the same. Here's another. Relax. The Brewers are one game behind. I'm aware of who the Brewers are. Team of the moment coming up at the top of the hour. First, we go to Mo from Oak Lawn. Mo, you're on Hit and Run. Good morning with me, Speaks. What's happening, Mo?
How we doing, man? This 20 games over 500, best team in baseball, man, I think it's legit. They've gone a month and a half without both their aces. They've got guys stepping up. Michael Busch is having a career year. Colin Ray is doing things that we need Colin Ray to do. Matthew Boyd's got the second best ERA in baseball. PCA and Tucker are MVP candidates. I mean, you look around and the defense from 1 through 9 is phenomenal. It's hard to find a better built team in baseball right now. You go out and get another ace, you're going to be up there. You go out and get Eugenio Suarez, that lineup is absolutely stacked from 1 through 9. You go get a third baseman and a starting pitcher, I think this is the best team in baseball, and I don't see how we're not parading in November.
Ooh, look at that. Mo is feeling it. Listen to him. Breaking down all aspects of the team. I dig it, Mo. You're watching the whole thing. You're getting the feel. Defensively, it is elite. The base running is often excellent. You are correct about some of those pitchers at the top. Matthew Boyd looking like this. My goodness. How good is Shota Imanaga right now? Imanaga yesterday gave up the double to Reeve Snyder, and like that was it. Just nothing after that leadoff double. And he escapes that inning, not giving up a run, and just dominates a very good lineup after that. And he's so much fun. He knows what he's doing. You got him and Boyd, and you've got Cade Horton today, which is fascinating, going up against the best pitcher in baseball, and that would be Garrett Crochet. Matthew Boyd, by the way, not the second best ERA in the National League, with Paul Skenes at 2.01. Garrett Crochet at 2.23. You could argue that he's not the best pitcher in baseball. You could say it's Tarik Skubal. You could say it's Paul Skenes. But Garrett Crochet is absolutely right there in the conversation. Jacob deGrom is terrific this year. Just terrific. Zach Wheeler is always excellent. And Matthew Boyd is up there, which is crazy. But he absolutely is in terms of performance so far. You'll see Crochet against Cade Horton, who was on this show last week. I like Cade Horton, like that kid, and he's smart, he's thoughtful, and I like that they're giving him a shot out there. This was a TBA for a little while. Thought maybe it was going to be a bullpen game, something like that. Could have used Boyd. Decided to end up using Horton, and we'll see what happens trade-wise during the week. But Mo is feeling it and says they deserve to be thought of as the best team in baseball. Texter says, mentions a song about Bill Lee by Warren Zevon called The Ballad of Bill Lee. Fun fact, Texter, if you were there at Music Box, you know I had two friends come out and play that song for Bill Lee. It was awesome. He loved it. That's how we started the Q&A yesterday, was with friends playing the Warren Zevon song about Bill Lee to him, and then was able to ask Bill about Warren, and they had a great friendship. It was really, really cool and fun event. Kindred spirits of those two, that is for sure. This is Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. What's up, Ben? How are you?
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about some trade line deals, but before I say that, I am happy to report that anonymous high fives given after home runs, like when Michael Busch led off that third game on Sunday where I was at with Cubs fans in Yankee Stadium, that kind of tops it all. It's absolutely fabulous.
So, you know, high fives with strangers at the ballpark is a top five human experience. I have always said this. I stand by it. Just being able to turn around and be like, what's up? Look at the joy we're sharing and doing it. I'm with you, man. That's very high on the list of excellent human experiences, Ben.
And there were thousands of Cubs fans there. If you look at the attendance for the three-game set, it was the second highest attendance for the Yankees after the Subway Series. So listen, about the trade line deals. The Cubs lead Major League Baseball in non-pitching war with 15.5 wins above average. That's a full 6 wins above the second-place team, which is New York Yankees. My point being, the lineup, the position players aren't the problem. For Christ's sakes, they haven't even used the bench. So for everybody who's complaining about Matt Shaw, which, by the way, and Bruce Levine mentioned this yesterday, at this point last year, they were thinking about sending PCA down a second time because he wasn't performing. We had to deal with the development of PCA and Miguel Amaya last year. We're dealing that year with Shaw. Now, what is a problem? The Cubs are a cumulative war 24th in pitching. They need to go after pitching, and more pitching. You know, Eugenio Suarez, if you look at the stat cast, it's cobalt blue in base running and defense, and that's not what this team is about. We don't need a 30 home run hitter because we already have 4 of them. We need a good player who can play third base and who can keep going. I love this team. Absolutely loved going to the stadium and seeing the redemption. I sat through the 11-0 bloodletting that was the Cody Bellinger revenge game. The only good thing that came out of that was I got a Billy Joel bobblehead. Love you, Steve. Take care.
Thanks, Ben. It's Ben, a Cub fan living in New York, who got the chance to go to some games at Yankee Stadium. I'm looking at the Baseball Savant page of Eugenio Suarez, and I see a lot of red: hard hit percentage, barrel percentage, expected slugging, batting run value up there at the top is extremely good. Horrendous base running run value. Horrendous fielding run value. So, interesting. Ben on point in his dissection of Suarez. But man, you can't have enough home runs. You just can't, people. And especially in the playoffs, you need a big pile of dudes who can deliver those. That's just kind of how it works. When the Cubs hit at least 2 home runs, they are 31-9. And you need, against real good pitching in the postseason, a big pile of dudes who can deliver them for you. It's not my favorite way to watch games. It's not my favorite way to watch teams win. But it's necessary. It is incredibly necessary. So the more that you know, the more that you could go. And so, you know, so I'm still down for the acquisition of Suarez. But there's going to be some options. We'll talk trade deadline a little bit in the next segment. Let's think about the South Side, and let's think about Luis Robert, who has had an incredible first couple of games. Here's a little montage of Luis Robert moments from the first 2 games in Pittsburgh, because it's been his show so far in Pittsburgh these first couple of games, as the White Sox have put up 10 runs in each of them. And Luis Robert has been terrible and or hurt and just absolutely brutal. But is he playing well enough? Is he showcasing well enough to give the White Sox a chance to get a little something at the deadline upcoming? We will talk about it. We will talk about it. And you will hear it in a little bit. Dan Plesac there on the call still with John Schriffen on CHSN. As Luis Robert had the great catch the other day and then a home run after that. I mean, the catch was one of those just unbelievable ones that sometimes you see just an incredibly perfect deadline in the body extension. Here's a little montage of Luis's moments in Pittsburgh so far.
Robert Jr. trying to chase this down. Oh, he got there! La Pantera with the closing speed! What a catch in center field to rob Kiner-Falefa.
How about a two-strike base hit in the first inning to drive in a run, and it doesn't get any better than this. Talk about closing ground. Look at the ground that he covers. This ball is destined right to that bullpen area.
Ooh.
And that is full extension.
Final out. Robert Jr. gives this one a ride, and it is out of here. La Pantera putting his stamp on this ball game. Had that incredible catch in the third, and now a solo home run here in the fourth, his 10th of the season. First and third with one down. Robert Jr. shoots it through the gap. And it is a one-run ball game as Vargas scores. Robert Jr. continues to do damage. He has been the man for the Sox these first two games here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's been awfully, awfully good. He absolutely has. And, you know, going into the break, Luis Robert had scored four runs over 26 games, had 27 strikeouts and 92 plate appearances. But in these first two games against the Pirates, he has scored six runs. He's been on base seven times. And, you know, really when you add those in over the last 10 games, you can get stats that are decent. And that's why Bob Nightingale wrote about him this morning in USA Today. Here's his nugget. White Sox center fielder Luis Robert's trade value finally is starting to show signs of life. He's hitting .345 with three homers, seven RBIs, eight runs, and a 1.131 OPS in the last 10 games. So there's, as Craig Counsell likes to say, fun with numbers as they find a way to spin it, especially with these last two, is a big deal and start to make it look pretty good. So Luis Robert on the block, yeah, it's time. Of course, it's been time for a long, long while. And so maybe they will start to get something. The White Sox are playing well, though. I got to say, when you see them and you watch them, and even if you just watch the condensed games, you can see it and you can hear it in the way they talk as well. You can see it in the way that they respond to Will Venable. And some of these guys, like Lenin Sosa, shortening up with two strikes. He's done that several times that I've seen him over the last 10 days or so. Having a really good run is Lenin Sosa. And they've obviously turned a corner. They've now won 10 series on the year. Last year, they only won 9 series. We could play the game of thinking about them as opposed to last year. Last year, coming out of the All-Star break, they went 0-17. You remember that? So instead of winning their first two in a row, as they have now, they lost their first 17 last year coming out of the break in the middle of a 21-game losing streak. But now it looks much, much different. I got to say, that ballpark, when I see that Pittsburgh ballpark, that is my current biggest baseball shame, is that I've never been there. Never been to that ballpark. Unbelievable.
What's your ballpark count, Speaks? How many have you been to?
About 13. Actually, it might be more than that. You know, I've got to look. I'll look, Tyler. It might be 17, and especially if we include defunct ones, because I was at Three Rivers, I was at Riverfront, I was obviously at the Vet, I was at Old Shea, Old Yankee. You know, a lot of those that are now gone. So I think it's around 17. I'll look during the break. But Pittsburgh's one that I desperately need to get to. So I'm going to pledge to do it next year, damn it. Make that trip. Looks beautiful there. And they've got some interesting players. A bunch of them are going to get traded. O'Neill Cruz won't get traded, but my God, the tools on that guy. So to see him in the home run derby was something. Did you see the triple he had yesterday? He didn't come around and score, but that triple he had was a line drive through the infield that went all the way to the wall in left center. And it's going to be a double, but no, he just kept running, and he's that big, and the strides are that massive that he slid into third, but there wasn't really a play of consequence at third. I mean, a line drive through the infield that gets to the wall and turns into a triple. That kind of summarizes the skill set of that dude. Some more of your phone calls coming up. at 312-644-6767. Got some open phone lines if you want to hop in on trade deadline stuff and Cubs and Sox and Cubs and Red Sox as well. Team of the moment at the top of the hour. And when we come back, let's look at the deadline and think about it in some detail. Next on 670 The Score.
Michael Busch leads it off against right-hander Brian Bayo. Big right-hander brings it. This ball's hit in the air. Deep left field. Back is Rep Snyder. It's got a chance. Gone! Michael Busch. Opposite field home run on the very first pitch. Cubs lead 1-0. Listen to this crowd.
Now, first pitch is not usually your thing, right? What was different today?
I'm just always trying to be always ready to hit. It's kind of the game where you're just, ready to hit, and sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't, but you just keep consistently trying to do it, and I think that's, the approach for me.
That is Michael Busch talking with Kenny Rosenthal on the Fox broadcast. Morning, everybody. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Michael Busch has been an absolute revelation this year, has turned in to what Craig Counsell says is a complete hitter. Craig just, very, very pleased with the way that Michael Busch has developed. There was a great moment, it was a week and a half ago. I was at the game and had a chance to sit close where I could see into the Cubs dugout. And it was when Busch started against the lefty. It was 2 weeks ago. And Busch started against the lefty. And it was only, the second time they started him there. And he homered against the lefty in his first at bat. And I just had the opportunity to look left and look into the Cubs dugout and see all the coaches fist bumping each other, high-fiving each other and talking about it. And they were pleased for him and proud of him. But they were also proud of their own strategy and psyched that they put him out there and he did the thing. And it, confirmed the way that they were feeling. It's such a cool opportunity when you get to see those kind of human reactions. So makes sense that Counsell is proud of him and says it. That's for sure. Michael Busch now leads the team in OPS. 926 OPS. Number one on the team, second in OBP, first in batting average, third in homers, third in RBIs. Pretty amazing. This is Tony from Palm Beach on 670 The Score. Tony, what's up? Good morning. You're on Hit and Run. How are you?
Hey, Speaks. I'm good. I'm putting in my 6 months on a day for my residency. I'll be back in Chicago in a couple days.
Good for you, man. That's good for you. Bring it back.
Here's the facet of this trade deadline that I really think has been considered, and I know you will consider it, the strike of 2027, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming mainstream now. Even the Washington Post talked about it. The absurdity of the whole thing is you're going to have salary cap in college football before you have one in Major League Baseball. Okay? Jerry Reinsdorf is the goat of business. He never loses, right? So he's circling his wagons. Here's another indicator there's going to be a strike. He had to get Ricketts to vote yes. So what did he do? He gave him the All-Star game for 2027, knowing that it's not going to happen. And then when they come out of the strike, and it could be 2 years, you'll have the next All-Star game at Wrigley Field. It'll be a big event, and Ricketts will benefit plenty. You have to consider this. Playoff baseball is different. You need three starters, 40-degree weather. Imagine if the Cubs had Skeens, Shota, and Boyd as their starters. If you keep these rookies now, and this strike does happen, you're not going to benefit from a 23-year-old until he's 26 or 27. You got to go for it now. Whatever it takes to get Skeens here this year, you'll win a World Series. I don't care if the Cubs come in last place for the next 20 years. Everybody will remember that they won the World Series this year. Otherwise, if you don't, Tucker is not signing. Ricketts is not signing him because they want the salary cap, which will increase the value of the teams by 20 to 30%. They want to lower salaries. Jerry cannot believe they're paying $12 million to middle relievers that are working 60 innings a year. So go for it now. I don't care who you got to get rid of. And I even told my friends, PCA for Skeens and one of their top minor leaguers, it doesn't matter.
Come on, Tony. You lost us. You had us, and you lost us. A lot of good stuff in there. Interesting talk about the cap that will probably never come. I wish it would. I wish there would be a cap and a floor in MLB. And we would have to rejigger some stuff. I mean, maybe you'd end up losing some franchises. But this thing with, like, just the massive inequities from one to the other, it's just, it creates such a competitive disparity and such a weirdness of system. But anyway, this idea of going for it right now with everything that you can is intriguing. But when you talk about it like that with PCA, you lose us. Owen Casey for Sandy Alcantara, Owen Casey for Seth Lugo, which is out there as a possible rumor. I don't love that one. I don't love giving up Casey, and you'll hear from him later on. I certainly don't love it. But, man, the idea of giving away some of the prospects that you do like but don't love right now, I mean, you have to do that. You have to do that. And you have to arm yourself and get ready. This is Todd in DeKalb on 670 The Score. What's up, Todd? Welcome in.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I don't like the Suarez deal. I don't like that run of player that he strikes out a lot. And I don't want the Cubs to give up a good young guy. They got a good farm system. And I just don't like, he's not fast. And I think Shaw, by next year, maybe if he can hit around 250, 260 and, you know, be good just like PCA was last year. And I got one more comment.
Yeah, but hold on. The skill sets of Shaw and PCA are vastly different. So it's not like one guy turns into the next. But go ahead, Todd, what you got?
And my final one is, I was listening to that Yankee series. How can anybody sit there and listen to that songs they play between each pitch of each batter? It drove me nuts.
I don't know what you're talking about. In terms of the Yankees broadcast, he's not talking about the Cubs broadcast. Oh, I guess you're talking about listening to the Cubs-Yankee game on the radio and hearing what they do in Yankee Stadium. I see. So you're talking about stadium ops out there. Gotcha. Well, you don't have to. Now you're done. Look, Matt Shaw is a very skilled young player, but he is nowhere near PCA. All right, so here we go. So we've gotten the two straight calls, and now we'll take some more of yours. At 312-644-6767. One guy says trade PCA for Paul Skeens. Another guy says Matt Shaw is going to turn into PCA. Good morning, everybody. We're open. We're hanging out. Lots coming up. You'll hear from Brian Smith of Bleacher Nation coming up next hour. Cubs prospects in line. You'll hear from James Fox of FutureSox.com in the 11 o'clock hour. You should hear from Drew Pomerantz today. You'll hear from Lucas Giolito today. And I think we'll hear from Red Sox broadcaster Will Fleming. All of that upcoming. And Owen Casey today. So all of that upcoming on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. More of your phone calls and the team of the moment is next on The Score.